Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm Peter Tugwell, a practicing clinician, and I hold the Canada Research Chair in Health Equity. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Guidelines.
Dr. Grant was nearing the end of his week. He was trying to stay focused on his work, but the recent government cuts to doctors' pay was troubling him. To fight back his latent anger, he opened up the chart of the last patient of the day and gave it his full attention. Maria was a 26-year-old Mexican woman who had a job at the local meat processing factory. She had booked her appointment because she was considering having a child. Dr. Grant knew that she was responsible enough to take her pregnancy very seriously. After all, in past appointments she had mentioned she was working with the meat company to save up enough to start her family. Dr. Grant knew he had to take her pregnancy as seriously as she did and started thinking. Were there any precautions beyond the normal that Maria should take before delivering her child to make sure it was as healthy as possible? Safety at the meat processing factory was up to standards, but was Maria properly immunized in case there was an outbreak or other issue?
Dr. Chris Greenaway is the first author of the evidence review on measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and polio of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health. Hello, Dr. Greenaway.
Hello, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Greenaway, should we immunize routinely all new immigrants and refugees?
Immunization should be considered in all new immigrants and refugees because the majority of new arrivals originate from countries where they may not have had access to optimal vaccination programs. And this is especially true for adult immigrants, as in many countries, the national immunization programs are only established in the mid-1970s. It's also important to note that mumps and rubella are not part of the national immunization programs of many countries. So there may be significant proportions of newly arrived immigrants and refugees that are susceptible to these diseases. And rubella is an especially important issue because if women are not immune and they become infected with this disease during pregnancy, this can result in a child with congenital rubella, which can lead to a seriously disabled child, which is both a burden to the individual, family, and society.
Okay, so then we get the idea that for the adults it's especially important to consider immunization, but what about the children? Should we still consider to vaccinate them?
Well, I guess for children, definitely we need to update vaccination. There are different issues related to updating vaccination for children and adults because children may more likely have written vaccination records than adults do.
But how reliable are these written vaccination records? Should we trust them? And if we have doubts, how we deal with that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. For adults, most adults do not have written vaccination records, and self-reported vaccination is not reliable. So in this situation, it is better to just restart a primary series of vaccination. In children, those with vaccination records, the optimal approach is challenging and needs to be tailored to each case. This is because vaccination records, even if present, are not always accurate, and this is written vaccination records. So there are different approaches to updating vaccines that can be taken and need to be discussed with the parent. Whatever approach is taken, it's important to be aware for practitioners that there are important gaps and that this issue needs to be addressed.
Okay, then what are the risks if then a vaccine is missed? So you have talked about the rubella, but what about the diphtheria, tetanus, the pertussis, the polio? What happens if the person is not vaccinated?
So, I mean, the issue in terms of being not vaccinated for all individuals is that there may be individual risk of developing disease, but also the potential risk to society for certain diseases of spread to others and outbreaks if there's a large group of individuals who are not vaccinated.
So then if we arrive to the point that we are going to offer to an adult or to to a family with children to vaccinate? Are there any difficulties to implement the treatment? There is any barriers for vaccination with immigrant refugees?
Well, I mean, I guess the first issue that you raised previously was about what to do about written vaccination records and whether to trust them. So that's, I guess, the first issue is how do you go about deciding? And the approaches to whether you trust written vaccination records and update them really depends on each practitioner and the interaction with the family. So the options are is to trust the records, to update only what's missing, or to do serologic testing prior to vaccination and then vaccinate those that are found to be susceptible. The difficulties with the approach of doing serologic testing prior to vaccinating is that there's five different diseases that need to be tested for, these tests may not all be readily available, and so this may delay the start of a vaccination series. The most conservative approach is just to restart a primary vaccination series, but I think that there are different approaches that can be taken.
Yeah, and I suppose that also you need to consider how available is the serological test and how much will be this delay in order to take this decision, imagine.
Right. And I guess the greatest difficulty in implementing these vaccination programs after you decided that somebody needs or does not need is that getting access to the immigrant population at risk is problematic in that there are no systematic programs to update or catch up vaccination in this group. So children, it's easier because we already have in Canada an established vaccination schedule with set visits to providers, so immigrant children can fit into this. However, they, depending on when they arrive, they may miss certain vaccinations. This is even a greater issue in ALTS because there are no routine, well, adult visits. So probably the most important issue in updating vaccination in immigrants is educating providers and raising awareness that immigrants are particularly a group, both adults and children, that are at risk for vaccine-preventable diseases and that they need to take all opportunities to consider vaccination in this group and update vaccines if needed whenever they come in contact with the healthcare system.
Dr. Greenaway, thank you so much for your time.
It was a pleasure to be here.
There are three key points to remember regarding MMR. Number one, a large proportion of immigrants are susceptible to several childhood vaccine-preventable diseases, especially rubella, diphtheria, and tetanus, and are at risk for associated morbidity or mortality. Number two, individuals susceptible to vaccine-preventable diseases must be identified and vaccinated to maintain herd immunity and prevent outbreaks. Number three, healthcare providers need to be aware of these gaps and ensure that they take all opportunities to update vaccinations in newly arrived immigrants and refugee children and adults. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health, produced in cooperation with the Canadian Medical Association Journal and the Cochrane Equity Methods Group.